Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Lord, we come to you. I'm asking, Lord, for the people that listen to the program, that you would help them to understand your word. Lord, that you would give them something from your word today. Lord, if they hear me, that's great, but I want them to hear Jesus Christ. I don't want it to be said necessarily that, hey, there's this preacher in the morning on Sunday morning, you need to hear him. What I'd like to hear testimonies of is that, man, I heard this preacher on the radio, and he showed me something, and it helped me to follow Jesus. It somehow touched my heart, whatever he said, and I want to follow the Lord in a stronger and a closer and a more dedicated way. Lord, that's my prayer. That's my prayer, that I would decrease, but Christ would increase, Lord, in my life and in the lives of those listening. And as the scripture I just read, Lord, I pray that this ministry would help people to come to a place of repentance, that whatever sins they may be hiding or covering or whatever they've hoped that they've forgotten about or whatever, that you would bring it to the forefront of their remembrance. And Lord, give them the courage and the faith to repent, and that they would confess to you and then forsake whatever evil they've done, because your word says that we'll have mercy. You have great mercy, Lord, and I pray that always that this program would bring people to repentance. And Lord, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the book of Proverbs, which was basically what we're going to be studying for, I guess, the next few weeks. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote a number of books of the Bible. And several of the books of the Bible are written about him. It says that Solomon was the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And this wisdom that he had, if you read where he prayed and said, "Lord, I'm now king. I now have to rule the people of Israel. But Lord, instead of asking for victory in war, or instead of asking for money or popularity or any of these things, Lord, give me wisdom, give me strength, give me something from heaven that I would know how to lead the people." He was king, but basically he had a shepherd's heart. "Lord, help me to pastor these people." And of course we know that the word pastor is the same word for shepherd. That a minister of the gospel, we say most of them are pastors. I'm not necessarily a pastor, I'm an evangelist, and I do missions work. But the ministry has to do with shepherding, pastoring, taking care of the flock, feeding the flock, making sure that they're tended, making sure they have enough water to eat and drink, making sure that they don't be led astray and fall into the ditch, making sure that the wolves don't come and steal the flock, to watch over them, to tend them. That's the heart, and that was the cry of King Solomon's heart, that he would be a good pastor to those people that he had the privilege to rule over. And God gave him wisdom. God gave him supernatural wisdom. And the things that he said, and we have a number of his sayings, a number of his writings, the things that he said were not some man's opinion. Again, if you want to talk politics, which he was a political ruler, He didn't take a pole. He didn't stick his finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing. He went to the Word of God, and he prayed, and he sought God, and God gave him an answer. And again, that is our pattern. Whatever trouble we get into, we should go to the Word of God. We should, however you pray, if it's standing or kneeling or prostrate on the floor or whatever, but you should go to the Word of God and to prayer and ask God for direction on exactly what you should do. He can give you wisdom just as he gave King Solomon wisdom. He can give you, me, anyone wisdom, and we can know what to do in any situation that we choose to turn over to God. God can give us wisdom. But the book of Proverbs, which is where we're going to study for a while, and I'm not going to go through the whole book of Proverbs, but basically Proverbs is broken up into several sections. The verse I just read, that's one proverb or one saying or whatever you want to call, one little nugget of truth. It took exactly one verse to get that truth across. And a great portion of the book of Proverbs is one or two verses long, and that's it. And if you read, for instance, this chapter or some of the other chapters, it doesn't seem like one verse to the next there's any continuity. It doesn't seem like one verse relates to the other. But I believe that there's a central theme, and that is that God can give us wisdom, and there's a contrast throughout the book of Proverbs and other places that you can live for God, you can be led of the Spirit, you can do the things that are wise, or you can reject God's leading, reject His word, reject His counsel, reject what the preacher says, and you can do what you want. You can do it in your own ability, your own, maybe you go to the people and ask it for advice, but they're not Christians, and they give you an answer that isn't biblical. But he contrasts the wise with the foolish, and the Bible says that, in another place it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But you can walk ungodly, without God, not caring about what God says, or you can choose to follow what the Word of God says, and you can be thought of as wise. And I believe, and the Bible bears out, and any Christian that you listen to that's been in this way any length of time knows that God's wisdom, God's leading, God's answers, God's path is really to be valued above anything else. Any other decision or any other choice or any other philosophy, all of these other things that maybe not actively deny God, but leave God out. All of these other ways of looking at things, God has a perfect way, and He'll lead you in a way that's safe. He'll lead you in a way that the outcome will be good. There's protection, there's provisions. But again, you can reject or neglect, whichever, the Word of God and His leading and His Spirit, and you'll have something at second, third, or tenth best. But I would like to spend the next few broadcasts, however long it takes. As I said, there are several divisions in the book of Proverbs. I guess the most or the biggest portion of Proverbs is just one or two little verses with just a little nugget of truth. But the first nine chapters of Proverbs, the messages are chapters long, chapters in length. And I would like to take each message, which basically is one or two chapters at most, and I would like to take them and to read them. I'd like to read the entire chapter to see what God has for us, to see what wisdom is contained. And I believe that Christians can learn from this. I believe that this is what God inspired. I believe that this is beneficial to the Christian. Many people will read the Beatitudes. They'll read the Sermon on the Mount. Some preachers, they'll preach in Matthew every Sunday, and they never get out of Matthew. I believe that the entire Word of God is useful, but I believe that there's a special blessing, a special message, and a special, how do I say it, a special thrust that God has in these messages in the first few verses of Proverbs, the first few chapters of Proverbs. I believe that God has a message, and I believe it's good for us, and I'd like to study that. So let's go ahead and start. We'll take Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. This is his introduction. He's saying this is what the book of Proverbs is about. To give you instruction, wisdom, judgment, etc. The simple, it says, to give subtlety to the simple. Now, you can read in Genesis, it says that the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And I understand that the word can have a negative connotation, but it also has a positive connotation. That not to be crafty, but to be wise and to do the things that are from wisdom. The simple, it says, and I guess we can begin to define terms. Simple means somebody that's not necessarily the brightest one, not necessarily the one with the most wisdom. We can take the word and everybody's familiar with the word simpleton. You might say that's an idiot or something, but wherever God finds you, and he's not calling anyone simpleton here, but he's saying that you may not be the Christian that sits on the front row. You may sit in the back. You may not know very much of the Bible, but you're trying to learn. But God will take you wherever you are, and if you'll trust in him and read his word, spend time in prayer and listen to those that are good preachers and sound preachers, that you can grow. You can gain wisdom. You can gain the ability to understand, the ability to live your life in a godly and wise fashion. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, it says in verse 5, and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Obviously, Solomon was the wisest man on planet Earth, but you can attain to wisdom. You can understand the counsel of God. You can be wise. You can walk in God's way. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. Now, that kind of sounds like when Jesus was here, he didn't give proverbs. He gave parables. And the parable, to just take a short detour, a parable was a story about some event that happened or what have you. And it had a plain meaning. But also, it had another meaning that if God revealed to you the not necessarily the hidden meaning, but the non-obvious meaning, then there was a spiritual truth there. Jesus had parables, and there were some of the prophets occasionally had a parable. But a proverb is similar to that, I suppose. But there's the proverb and the interpretation, it says. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. And I suppose that the word dark saying, again, would mean that on the surface there's a simple story, there's a simple meaning, but as God gives you understanding, then there's an even deeper meaning. Now, let's look at verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And I'd like to say that he's speaking directly to his son. But pretty much the book of Proverbs is an appeal. It is a challenge. It is a cry to those listening that they would heed the word of God. It's an appeal, it's an altar call, if you will, especially these first nine chapters. My son, in verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily or privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down to the pit. We shall find no precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot with us. Let us have one purse. Now, what is he saying here? Now, this is King James English. This is Solomon lived thousands of years ago. How does this apply? What does this mean to us today? One obvious example that jumps out at me is peer pressure. Today, our young kids, our teenagers, what have you, especially here in New Orleans, there's a lot of peer pressure. There's peer pressure to smoke. There's peer pressure to do drugs. There's peer pressure to rob houses. There's peer pressure to be a drug dealer. There's a lot of peer pressure, and kids can get into all kind of trouble today. It says here, let us lurk privately or sneakily or hide in the bushes, let's say, for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as they that go down to the pit. Now that's talking about let's hide in the bushes, wait for somebody to come by, let's kill them and let's take their stuff. You know, too often, practically every night, we see on TV that there's been another murder here in this city. So I would think that Proverbs and King Solomon is relevant for today. I believe that his message, he's speaking to us today. But again, I said that the book of Proverbs is a pleading with those listening that they would not do the evil, but they would choose God's way and choose to do good. In verse 15, it says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to do evil and make haste to shed blood. Man, doesn't that sound like the drug dealers here? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they that wait for their own... Let me try that again. And they that lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. He's saying, wake up. Wake up. You know that if you go toting a gun, you may shoot somebody and somebody may shoot you. Surely in vain is the net set, spread in the sight of any bird. If you're smart, you'll see the evil. If you have any brains, you'll realize, hey, I shouldn't be living like this. Mama told me not to do all of this. Anybody with a brain knows I shouldn't be out running with these guys. And surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. I believe this is very relevant. I certainly believe that Proverbs speaks to us today and our situation here in New Orleans, and really probably teenagers everywhere. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Do you want to be stupid all your life? Do you want to live a base life your entire life? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Again, he's calling out. Solomon is calling out, and the Holy Spirit is calling out, pleading with man. Turn you at my reproof. That sounds like the word repentance. The word repent means to stop, to turn around, and to walk the other way. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. If you turn to Christ, he will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He will put his spirit in you. He will help you. He will give you wisdom. He will change your life. I know my life was headed completely the wrong way, but Jesus came into my life. He changed my life. And instead of doing wrong, I try to do right. Instead of running with the wrong crowd, I hang out with the people that are smart. God has changed my life, and he can change yours. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none, or would have none, of my reproof. Listen to what it says in verse 26. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is God speaking. He says, I called to you, I pleaded with you, I sent someone to tell you about me, and you've lived your whole life, you didn't care about me. When your time comes, when trouble comes upon you, when you get sick and the doctor says you got 3 months to live, God says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. What do you mean, preacher? That's pretty strong. Well, this is the word of God. You know, how many times when somebody gets into a jam, they say, Oh God, get me out of this situation. Lord, help me now. And if you do, I'll start going to church. If you do, Lord, I'll quit drinking. Well, you know that they get better. You never see them in church. They can continue partying just like they used to do. So God is just when he says this. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. In other words, a tornado comes into your life and turns it upside down. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Verse 28, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Yes, the word of God says if you seek God early, you'll find him. If you seek him with your whole heart. If it's half-heartedly, if you only pray when you get into trouble, God puts his fingers in his ears, and he does not care to hear you. Now, certainly, if you turn, if you say, Lord, I know that I'm wrong, I know that I want to begin to do right, and you mean it, and you follow through with it, you can be saved. But if God is only God when it's convenient, he really doesn't care. And again, you say, preacher, that's kind of cruel. Well, I'm just reading to you what the word of God says. Verse 29, For they that hateth knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none or would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. You made your bed, now you're going to lie in it, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. God is calling out to the simple. God is calling out to those that are lost. But if you say, no, Lord, I don't want. And the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know, many times the word of God is exactly like this. It'll give an appeal. You can find this throughout the prophets and in many other places in the word of God, that God will give an appeal. And he'll spend a lot of time saying, you need to come, you need to do this, you need to follow me, you need to repent. But if you don't, destruction's going to come on you, and I'm going to be the one sending it to you. Many times he will say that, but then he'll give, right at the end, another appeal. I don't believe that we should follow God because we're afraid. Like, you've probably heard that the saying that someone will get saved because they want fire insurance. In other words, they're afraid of hell and the fires of hell, so they want to basically half-heartedly follow God. Whether those people are saved or not, that's not for me to judge. But I do know, and the Bible does say, that we need to follow God with our whole heart. We need to not walk as close to the world as we can, not as close to the edge as we can, because we might fall off. We might fall into sin. But we need to follow God as closely as we can. And again, there are many, many promises throughout the Word of God. Many, many promises. Many blessings that if we'll do things God way, God will go out of His way to help us. And that's a wonderful promise that the Word of God has. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.